If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher Radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
This diamond, metaphorically, is like a woman. See how she cares for it? When you go to buy a diamond, you look for clarity, carat, color, and cut. What do you look for in a woman? Before you propose, meet her mother, grandmother, aunts, everybody. Cut. What are they cut from? What type of cloth are they cut from? Clarity. Are they open with you? Because the worst thing to have is an Eve who secretly questions you, and the devil sees that and comes and tempts her with the question. She should have gone to her husband and said, well, why is it that God said not to do it? You know Adam told her because she said what Adam told her. And you know God didn't tell her. Why didn't she ask for clarity? Because she kept it in her heart. Well, I ain't going to ask. See, because I don't want him to get mad with me. No, ask him. Why? Because, see, you're picking someone with the potential of being life mate. Now, I'm going to add a fifth C, and that C is change. Because everybody changes. Now, you can make sure the change is positive, even through a negative situation. It can be a positive change. Even through a negative situation, you don't stay married long without having to struggle through some things. And it brings change. You change your behavior. Why is God so adamant about this? First, he says, submit one to another. God never intended the man to dominate the woman. The woman is like a diamond. She's precious. She's to be treated that way. Amen. And listen to this. All real men love femininity. They just might not tell you, and they want me to say it in this sermon. But they really, you know what they want? They really want you to sit with them and just so-called absent-mindedly just kind of reach over and just kind of rub their head. They really want you to do that. Because you watch, they'll kind of lean. It's not intentional, but it's intentional. They just... See, they're not the sexual predators you think they are. God said it's not good for man to be alone. Listen to me. It's not good for man to be alone. God is saying it's not good for him to have to deal with the emotional stresses alone. So he gives him that woman, that wife that he's extracted from him, which means she understands how to deal with that. Why? So that he is Delilah-proof. See, she's the rib. She understands. She knows. Now, he's going to resist at the beginning because he's going to, oh, come on, I'm all right. Stay with it. He's lying. Stay with it. Why? Because the Bible says that there must be submission one to another. Then he goes into specifics. Paul is writing to a culture where this is not normal. So that's why there is such a specific command. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. To this Ephesian/Greek culture, this was not the norm. He didn't have to write this to Jews. He never writes this to Jews. Everywhere he writes this, it's to Gentiles. Even till this day, Orthodox Jewish women still put their husbands in the front seat and sit in the back seat because they are trained to submit. God says, wives, submit. The verb there doesn't mean slavery. Here's what it means. It means that God will give instruction to the husband for the house. The husband comes to the wife for input, for recommendation of how do we make this work. And then he goes back to draw assessments on what's been said and what he believes. And then he makes the decision. The wife submits to the decision. She doesn't come to the woman's fellowship and talk about how rotten he is and he don't listen to nobody and he ain't no good. No, that's not submission. Submission is, honey, if that's what you want, I submit. I go along with that. Why is God saying this? To remove your personalities? No, to make your home better. But also to provide you with practice so that when God doesn't do it the way you want it to be done, you can still wait on him without backsliding. You can't give God what you can't give anybody else. Now listen to me. I know some of you are saying, yes, I can. I can give God worship and not anybody else. That's not true. Because you still possess the ability to lift people. Listen carefully. I'll use this phrase. God doesn't care if every one of you in this church stood up and said, Eric Lambert is great. God wouldn't care. He wouldn't care. He'd let you say it and sit right back down. But he'd get upset with me for letting you do it. He knows you possess the propensity to lift people because of what they do. He knows that. Why? Because you can't give God worship if that worship button's not in you. If your heart, like there are people in here, I ain't showing Lambert no honor, then you ain't showing God none because you don't have an honor button. But I should be sensible enough to know, thank you, God bless you, that's enough. When people come up and say, oh, Bishop Lambert, you preached a message. That word was fantastic. You know what I say? Thank God. Next statement. Did you see that game last night? I'm not going to stand there. Yeah, praise the Lord. What part did you like? What touched you? That means there's a deficiency in me. God doesn't care if you call people great. He'll just get upset if I call myself great. I would say my pastor was a great man, but he would never hear me say it. Because if I said it, he'd scold me and make me want to go hide. But in my mind, he's a great man. Now listen carefully. Wives are supposed to lift their husbands. When that man is beat down by life, see, that's why they don't want me to teach the marriage fellowship. Y'all don't want to have no evening with Bishop Lambert. But when that man is down, he's supposed to come to his wife. And she's supposed to lift him. You ain't no good. You ain't never going to amount to nothing. You get on my nerves. Don't come crying to me. That's what's wrong with y'all. You come crying to me. But see, unbeknownst to you, at the store he goes to, the woman behind the counter, she said, Bill, what's the matter? Well, you know, I'm having some struggles and things ain't working right for me. Really? Well, look, I'm on my break in 5 minutes. Why don't we sit down and grab a cup of coffee and talk about it? I better not do it. Oh, we just gonna talk. And she said, I hear you. Oh, you shouldn't have to go through that. You too good for that. You too classy for that. Oh, my goodness. You mean to tell me somebody told you that your belly is too big? Baby, that just tells me you healthy. Don't worry about nothing like that. Somebody told you you were going bald. You ain't going bald. Grass can't grow on a busy street. That just means you thinking. You look good. No, I'm sorry you have to go through that. I got to go back to work now. He goes home, and here's Eve. Where you been? Out eating again. Probably eating some more of them donuts. Look at you. You need to get somewhere, and you need to get some Rogaine and get your hair growing back. What's wrong with you? Now you notice he ain't fighting you anymore. He just listens to you and walks right upstairs and goes in the room and watch TV. And before he would try to tell you, don't talk to me like that. Don't talk. See, somebody else is filling that void. Now you're sitting in counseling. Pastor, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. He out there with somebody else. What'd you do to contribute? But he's supposed to be a man of God. He's not supposed to be susceptible to that. Then why you think God tells you to submit to him? But why is God doing this? To create a body of believers. How do you do this? Where's your training? Home. Your training for spiritual things is at home. Everything you need to do in church and in the body of Christ, it's at home. Because you can't be in the church what you can't be at home. People say, oh, they come to church and they don't pray. That's because they're not praying at home. If you were praying at home, praying in church would just be an extension. Wives, submit to your husband. It's not a bad thing. Now, let's be honest. I'm not teaching my daughter to submit. I'm sorry. I should. Fathers in the East, that's why the Bible is an Eastern book. The principles are Eastern. And that's why when Paul would write this about submission, the Eastern women understood it because they were trained to submit. You remember in certain cultures, they're trained to submit. What do you like? Anything you like? No, I know what I like. I want to know what you like. Anything you like? No, no, listen to me. I know what I like. I want to know what you like. Anything you like? I've been trained to do whatever you want. Really? Yes. Hop on one leg. Work like a dog. Because she was trained. Now, I don't advocate that. That's a puppy. No, that's not what I'm saying. But we ought to train our young women to love their husbands, to submit to the leadership, to take care of the children. According to Titus, mothers are supposed to teach the younger women how to love their husbands, how to raise up their children, and in doing so, they glorify God. But the culture doesn't allow us to do that. So pray for me. But the principle here is that God is saying, in order for there to be unity and harmony in the home, you must set a clear directive of authority so that your children see it. Children need to honor their fathers. And they can't do it when the father is constantly being maligned by a bitter mother. You got to go see your daddy. You got to go do this. My parents separated when I was 8 years old. But my father didn't miss a beat being a father. He came and ate dinner with us. Took his children Christmas shopping. Took us toy shopping. Took me down to Crass Brothers every school season beginning. Never knew it. My mother said, our relationship has nothing to do with you. My father would drink. He would get that special rum that you don't normally import, the white rum. I don't know how he got it in the country, but he got that white rum. And my father would drink and couldn't walk straight. But he would drive his car to our house. And mama would say to me and Gary, go outside and get your father and bring him in here. We'd get him and pull him out the car and take him right in the house. Daddy, what y'all doing? Come on, take you upstairs and lay him right in the bed. Because that was our father. At no time did she ever call him anything outside of who he was. So we learned to respect him even though the two of them were separated. Because mama said, that's your father and you will respect him. My father was a journeyman carpenter. He would sometimes have to work in Baltimore for the week. On the Friday he would come home. Mama would say, all right, y'all come on, get the house together. Your father's coming home. And we would start getting toys up off the floor. And when he walked in, the place was spick and span because she taught us that your father is coming home. And that's my job, to teach you. Your father is coming to get you. Start cleaning up the house. Get things together. Lay aside the weights and the sins that doth so easily beset you. Because our father is going to send our brother to come. Whoa! God help me. Sometimes my brother had to pick me up from school. Your father is sending your brother, Jesus, to come and get you. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout to bring you to the Father. But it's my job to help you prepare yourself.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
11315A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.